Let me move this out of the way. If you could, go ahead and open up in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. While you're doing that, I have a small favor to ask. That singing got me all fired up. I'm already sweating. And those of you who know me really well know I'm only going to get hotter. Do you mind if I take my coat off? Awesome. Green is good. Here, I better give this to Shauna before I get in trouble. Fantastic. Ephesians chapter 4. Imagine if you would. All right. How many of you like, you know, some nice old, you know, furniture? I know some people like collecting old furniture, and I saw a few hands out there. Sometimes I like looking at that. I remember my dad, he loved to build things, and I always chuckled because every time we went somewhere, it didn't matter where we were, you'd see him, we'd be like looking at something at a museum, or maybe we'd be at a store, and he'd be over somewhere else kind of going, checking out, seeing what it's made of. Of knocking on the walls and feeling things. And I'm like, what are you doing, Dad? He's like, well, I'm trying to see what it's all made of. And he'd get ideas. And, you know, sometimes he would get from family or friends, they would have an old piece of furniture, but it had really seen age. And so they would give it to him to it'd be all scratched and just the stains all messed up. And, you know, and he would take that piece of furniture and he would make it new. So, like, if you had an old piece of furniture, it had scratches in it, gouges, the stain was, you know, coming off, was rubbing off, what would be the first steps you do? If you were going to make it new again, would you just go ahead and start putting some new finish on it? No, what would you do first? Well, yeah, you'd strip it all the way down. You'd get all the old stuff off, maybe take the old hardware, take it off, get it polished. You'd sand it all down, and then once you got it all down to the bare minimum, to the bare piece of furniture, then you'd start bit by bit, maybe sanding it some more, filling in the cracks, polishing the hardware, and start putting it together, putting a new finish on it, and then maybe putting another coat of something on it to keep it protected. Now you had this old piece of furniture that just looked like it was about to fall apart. Now it looks like a brand new piece of furniture. And you know, our lives in Christ are very similar to that old piece of furniture. You know, a lot of us out here have got scratches, have got bruises, okay? We've got issues, we've got struggles, we've got problems, we got areas in our life where we need to grow, we need to change. We need to, you know, this is our old way. We need to find new things. And you know, a lot of us out here going, no, I'm doing pretty good. You know, if you're one of those who are going, you know, I've gotten this, I'm doing pretty good, let me inform you, you do have an issue. It's called pride, okay? And you need to get those scratches sanded down, the scratches of pride. Well, here in our passage, we're going to talk about that. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. It's a great practical piece from the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 22. Paul's giving instructions here to the church in Ephesus. And he's already spent, you know, 3 chapters in his letter giving them some just real good doctrine. In chapter 4, he starts to get really practical with them. How do you put that doctrine into place? And he says in verse 22... He says, here you go, here's a key. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this evening. And Lord, I'm so thankful to have a church that comes together on Wednesday night. the middle of the week, an opportunity to come together with our brothers and sisters in Christ and to just learn and grow from your word. Lord, I'm so thankful for a church that just has a heart and a desire to rightly divide your word, to help others to grow, to help others to grow closer to you, to spread the gospel, Lord, to those that need to hear the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and what you did for us on the cross. Lord, I pray this evening, as we come together, Lord, first and foremost, I pray to be just a humble, spirit-filled teacher. Lord, fill me with your wisdom, your knowledge, and understanding, so that I can share that with everyone here tonight. Not my own. They don't need to hear my wisdom. Lord, I pray your wisdom, your word will be glorified. Lord, help all of us to have hearts softened and just eager and ready to learn the principles from your word tonight, and then to search our own hearts, search our own lives, to find the areas where we need to grow. And may we be humbled enough to admit the areas that we struggle with, and then to just lean on you, Lord, and apply your word in our lives. Lord, help us to encourage each other and to stand together to glorify you. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. In this passage here, we learn a great, great practical principle about our faith in Christ, about our walk with the Lord. And that's the put off and put on principle. You need to put off the old man, we find out, and you got to put on the new man that's created in Christ. And as you put on your new life in Christ, those struggles, those strongholds, those burdens, that bondage will start to lose its grip. And then you'll be able to confidently live in that life of freedom that Christ gives you. Tonight, we're going to see several principles on how you can put on your new life in Christ. The first way is by rejecting your old sinful habits. You need to reject your old sinful habits. Look at verse 22. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Listen, all of us have a past. All of us have a past. I've mentioned it before in here. And we can try whatever we can to run away from that past. We can even try and just bury our heads in the sand, be like an ostrich. But no matter what we do, we still have a past. It's always going to be part of our life while we're down here on this earth. And a lot of times, for a lot of us, it's that past holding on to our life here that gives those strongholds that firm grip. And listen, there's an important principle to learn here. Listen, if you want to see lasting change in your life, you have to reject the old way of doing things. You have to totally reject that old person, that old way of living. Verse 22, Paul says to put off. He says, those of you in Ephesus and all believers, you need to put off something in your life. You need to put it off. So what's he talking about? What does it mean to put off? The phrase put off means to put away. It's also translated as cast off, lay apart, lay aside, or lay down. I think about our kids, you know, put your clothes away, put them away. What does that mean? They're all over the floor, and you put them away, put them where they need to be. You know, it's my coat. What did I do? I put it off. It was hot. I was getting ready to sweat like crazy. On Saturday when I was doing the wedding for Heather and Steve, I thought I was going to float down the aisle after them. Man, I was sitting up here just... I thought that was going to be the talk afterwards. Like, man, I thought Shannon was going to pass out. Man, just crazy. No, you put it off. You discard it. Get rid of it. It conveys the idea that there is something you're supposed to get rid of. Something that is not supposed to be a part of your life anymore. So what are you supposed to get rid of? Well, Paul says your former conversation. Your former conversation, the old man. Now, that word conversation, it doesn't just mean talking. Now, it could, but that's not it. It basically means your behavior, your conduct, the way you present yourself, the way you live. So he says you need to cast off, put aside your former way of doing things, your former behavior. In other words, the way you live your life, the way you act, or your conduct from before. Paul's letting the church in Ephesus know that they need to get rid of their old habits, their old way of doing things that are contrary to God's truth. He says you can't do those things anymore. You got to put them off. And listen, what is so awesome about this verse? You know, a lot of times people read this verse and they're like, oh, I got to put off. Now I got to do all, what are all these things that aren't lining up with God's word? Man, now it's like a heavy burden. Wow, I kind of like that. It's going to be a bummer. No, there's a great hidden truth in this verse. The fact of the matter that God is telling us that you can put off that former conversation is a 100% guarantee that you can have freedom from whatever strongholds and burdens there are in your life. That is a guarantee. God is saying you can cast it away from you. It can be gone. It can be no longer a part of your life. That's awesome. I don't know if that gets you excited or not, but that's fantastic. Man, I get shivers down my spine when I think about it. That is so awesome. God is giving us such great encouragement just in a simple verse right there. Listen, you can live free from the bondage of your strongholds, but you got to cast off those old habits. You got to cast off your old way of thinking. You can't think like you used to back before you knew Christ. You got to just get rid of that old lifestyle. Maybe it's places you used to hang out, people you used to be around, things you used to read, things you used to watch, whatever it is, if it's not glorifying God, if it's not helping you to grow, if it's causing you to get stressed out with bondage and strongholds and struggles, you got to cast it off. You got to cast it off. Why is this put-off principle so important? So important. According to verse 22, it's because your old life, what the Bible calls your old man is corrupt and led by deceitful lusts. Listen, your things to do with your life before Christ, it's corrupt. It's deceitful. It'll lead you astray. Listen, I tell everybody who comes on Friday and Monday nights out to Freedom Found that, listen, a half-truth, guess what? It's still a lie. There's no such thing as a white lie. It's a lie. And when we start trying to justify things in our life, it may sound great, it may sound wonderful, but it's just a half-truth. It's a lie. It's a lie. We got to cast off that old way of thinking, the old lifestyle, the old habits, because it's corrupt, it's deceitful. The phrase, which is corrupt, means to shrivel or wither. It means to spoil or ruin. In other words, it's what happens when I try and plant something in the ground. Listen, if you want a plant to go from green to brown in the quickest time possible, give it to me. Give it to me. When I used to do maintenance here, we had an AC problem on the children's building over there, and the compressor had to be switched out. Well, in order to get to the compressor, I had to remove one of the bushes. So I got with our lawn guy, and I wrote down all the procedures to keep that bush alive. And so we got it out, got the new compressor in. I followed those things to a T. I set my task list. When it needed to be watered, it was watered. I got it all going there. Within a week, it was brown. There was the ice cream bushes and brown, green. You knew exactly where my handiwork was. That's what that means. That old person is corrupt. It's not green. It's not lush. It's not prosperous. Listen, a dead shriveled tree doesn't produce fruit. Okay? And if there is an apple on it, don't eat it. Okay? Because it's probably brown and shriveled too. That's what it means, which is corrupt. Your old life, there is nothing about your life before Christ. There's nothing about your life outside of growing in God's Word that is wonderful. It's corrupt. God tells you it's shriveled. It's spoiled. It'll ruin you. He also says it's deceitful. It means it'll lie to you. It'll lead you astray. It'll create delusions in your thinking. It'll tell you something is okay when it's not. When it's not. So what's all this mean? It means that your old way of living, okay, your old life before Christ, did nothing but bring bondage, and it was all because you followed the deception of sin. That's what it means. Your old life brings nothing but bondage. And listen, freedom will only come in your life when you put away or you quit living according to your old habits. So how can you put on your new life in Christ? You got to reject your old sinful habits. But then you do it by changing the way you think. That's key. Right up here. Changing the way you think. Look at verse 23. He says here, not only should you put off your former conversation because it's corrupt, but then he says, and be renewed in the spirit of what? Your mind. You got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You got to change the way you think. Listen, getting rid of your old corrupt way of life isn't the only step you got to take. You can't just make this task list, okay, let's get rid of it all. Let's get rid of it all. Because now you'll just be have nothing. But now you got to start making some changes. The next important step to change is the way you think. You need to refresh your entire thought process. The phrase be renewed means to renovate or reform. You know, it's just like that piece of furniture. You renovate it. You change it from the old way, which is scratched, old, fallen apart, into this new piece of furniture. All varnished up and shiny. I think of those programs, the whole Flip Your House and all those other things where they go in and their house is falling apart and the big crew comes in with their big trucks and all this stuff and they design this whole new thing and they start tearing walls out and all sorts of stuff. They get rid of all the old. And then they start bringing in new things. Listen, they don't just tear out everything from the old house and go, there you go, there's your new home. No, people would probably kill them. What'd you do to my house? Where's the windows? No, they bring in new. They bring in new things. That's what that word, be renewed. It means to renovate, to make new. Something that was falling apart is now back together and operating again. It's operating. This is the same idea with your renewal. Listen, you need to quit listening to the old lies that only put you deeper into bondage and start focusing on biblical principles and applying them in your life. Listen, I challenge you. You should be sitting down in your personal studies as you're reading going, man, am I doing that? Does that describe who I am? And if it doesn't, don't beat yourself up. Find ways to change. How do I change that? If you don't know, get help. That's why we're called the body of Christ. To help each other. To come together. Get help. That's why every Monday and Friday night, I have Freedom Found. Listen, we don't sit around going, hi, I'm Shannon. I have this problem. No, that's not what Freedom Found is about. Okay? It's not about getting locked in the old lifestyle. It's letting people know that it doesn't matter what your problem is. Doesn't matter what your struggle is. Listen, if you struggle studying your Bible, come out Monday night. I can guarantee you, by the end of the 13 weeks, you will know how to study your Bible. Listen, if you don't know how to study your Bible, that's a stronghold, because that's going to keep you from growing. You don't have to just go out there just because if you have a big problem like drinking or drugs. Listen, folks, to be honest, it's the little problems, to me, that are the biggest. The people who struggle with the drinking and the drugs and the pornography and the gambling and the food, do you know what? That's just an outward sign of a deeper problem. And we get them past that and to see the bigger issue, and that's they got to change their thinking. They're thinking wrong. They're following worldly principles instead of godly principles. You got to renew your thinking. Listen, if all you do is focus your thoughts on your strongholds or your difficulties or what's going on TV and who's winning what game or who's doing what, you know, if that's all your focus is, all right, it's going to be really hard to focus on God's Word and biblical principles. It's going to be really hard to grasp onto that truth because you're going to be filling your mind with other stuff. I always tell them, garbage in is garbage out. You know, you want to guarantee that you won't grow in your relationship with Christ? Don't get in the book. Don't get in the book. Don't get around good Christian fellowship. Don't spend time in prayer, and you won't grow. You got to renew your thinking. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 2. Keep your place here in Ephesians. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I love that passage. There's so much there. Look at this. We see this idea here. Same idea. Romans 12, 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world." That to me, that sounds just like putting off the old man. "And be not conformed to this world, but look, be ye transformed." That's renovated, changed, molded. "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Why? "That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You got to change your thinking. Romans 8, 6. Go to Romans chapter 8. You're in Romans. This is another great verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Says, "For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But look at this. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Being spiritually minded, thinking on godly principles. Basing your thought pattern on God's truth. Listen, something you need to keep in mind throughout this process is, listen, it's not going to be easy. I'm not claiming that it's easy. That's why he tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You got to study and be a workman. It takes an effort. But thank the Lord, it's a team effort. It's a team effort. God never says that you're to be an island all by yourself. No, that's why we've got a local church, a local assembly to come together and encourage each other. It's not going to be easy, and change probably won't come overnight. But listen, as you learn new principles from the Bible and start living out what you learn, start applying them in your life, it'll become easier to put off that old man and to start putting on your new life in Christ. Listen, don't give up. Hang in there. Keep reading. Keep studying the Bible. Keep spending time with the Lord in prayer. And I'm telling you, seek godly fellowship. Every single one of us should have a mentor that'll help teach us and help encourage us. But listen, every single one of us should have somebody we're mentoring. And I'm telling you, some of my growth happens more from mentoring the other person than getting the encouragement from above, because they'll ask some questions that come out of nowhere. And you're like, say, what? I don't know. I better go find out. And it forces you to dig in because you want to help them. And you end up helping each other. It's a great, great thing to be in good, godly fellowship. Listen, if you desire to live your new life in Christ, you must get rid of your old sinful habits, and you got to change the way you think. And the third thing is by actively seeking to serve God. You have to actively seek to serve God. As you begin to reject your old life and start to change the way you think, you must then actively seek to serve the Lord. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 24. So he says in 22, put off the old man, because it's corrupt, it's deceitful. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Then verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, it's not just purging. It's not just changing the way you think. Now you've got to start putting something new on. You got to start putting new in. See, you don't just take off that all that old stuff on the furniture. Take off all the old varnish, the old stain. Take off all the scratches. And then just leave it there. All right, it's ready to go. No, you put on new stuff. You got to put on the new man. Listen, your new life in Christ is not just a matter of removing the old habits. It's a matter then of replacing the old habits with new godly habits. And listen, this is going to require you to actively seek ways in order to serve God and bring Him glory. Listen, don't wait for something to knock on your door. I'm going to stay here and I'm just going to pray. And I know when it's time for me to teach a life group, Pastor Rich is going to knock on my door. That's when I'll know. No, don't. Go knock on his door. He'd be excited to get that knock. Let's start a new life group. Don't sit there and wait until, wow, I wish the church would just call me. I'd love to do something. Call the church. You want something to do? I'll find something for you to do. We'll get you going. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to do. There's still literally thousands of people in Daytona that still have to hear the gospel. They're on a straight course to everlasting life without God in hell. Because they don't know Jesus as their Savior. Don't wait around. Seek it out. In verse 24 of the passage, it says, once you put off the old man, you got to put on the new. The phrase put on means to invest with clothing, to sink into a garment. My favorite t-shirt, which now sadly is gone. It was a sad day. I had this gray t-shirt. It was the greatest t-shirt. Had it for years. The whole time I was on my own, single. It was just, that was the shirt. Work all day. And then you get done, it was just perfect. It was comfortable. It was the right thickness. It just flopped really good. It wasn't rough. It wasn't coarse. And you know, like other shirts, you know, okay, you put on the shirt and you put it on and go. No, this shirt, it was like, yeah. You know? I always equate it to, Shauna hates it, but I love it. It'll be like 30 degrees out. And I'll want the air conditioning on, the fan going, and I want to be freezing. And just like, oh, to the point of shivering. Why? Because then you get under that big, thick comforter, and you're just kind of like, it's like you're back in the womb, you know? It's just, yeah. Listen, I don't get into bed. I sink into bed, you know? And then, you know, you like in the middle of the night, you're like, oh, you got to go use the bathroom. You're like, it's cold. But then you get back in and you're like dying under the comforter. Ooh, but then you slowly get, warm. That's the idea. Folks, sometimes we talk about putting on our new life in Christ like it's a chore. Come on. If a comforter brings me peace and happiness, my Lord and Savior should bring me peace that goes beyond what I can think. I should be going crazy trying to get that. Listen, that's what God is saying here. Don't just live a new life. Put it on. Wear it. Let it become part of you. Man, just sink into it. That's the idea. And listen, I didn't wait for that t-shirt or that comforter to just crawl its way across the floor to get to me. I sought it out. I mean, there was times after we got married, I was scared. Because I'm looking through the drawers for that shirt, and I'm like, oh, she threw it out. Yeah. But eventually I had to. There were so many holes, and I knew it was inevitable and it needed to be. So I'm working on a new one. I haven't found one yet. But that's the idea, man. I go looking for it. I go looking for it. Listen, why is this new man so important? Because it's created in righteousness and holiness. That's what your new life could be. Righteousness and holiness. That's what you could be exhibiting to the world that's wondering, why should I trust in this guy that died on the cross? Why? Because before is struggle and corruption and deceitfulness. But here's righteousness and holiness. So how does this happen? By living unto Christ. Romans 13, 12 through 14 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Listen to this. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Throw them out. Get rid of them. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't make a place for those sinful desires. You know, it's like the idea of going out and working in the yard and getting all dirty and sweaty and grungy. You know, you just, get in there. We got this jungle behind our house, and I've been clearing it out with, just getting in there, scratches and dirt and stuff all over. And man, I'm sweating up here, so you can imagine what I look like after a morning of working in the yard, just bad. And sometimes our Christian walk, how we deal with it is it's like me coming in, taking off all those grungy, sweaty, dirty clothes, and taking a shower, getting all clean, all that dirt gone, and going right back out and putting that dirty clothes back on, all sweaty and dirty and grungy, and then going to give my wife a kiss. You know, she'd be like, uh-uh. But that's what we do. When we trust in Christ, when we come to that time where we're broken in our life, we trust in Christ, and when we go right back to our old lifestyle, that's exactly what we're doing. It's exactly what we're doing. That's what this is saying. Get rid of it. Listen, you must actively seek to serve God, but it must be through Christ's strength living in and through you. Get these verses. These are great. Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite. This describes the Christian life. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still here. But look at this. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't live according to Shannon Dan of old anymore. It's about setting myself and my selfish desires aside and saying, Lord, live in me. Live in me. I want you to live your life through me. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He can work exceeding abundantly. 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, Paul says, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Folks, listen, the only reason why I'm standing before you today is by the grace of God. By the grace of God. It isn't anything I did. It isn't anything I did. Except just turn to Him and trust in Him completely. Listen, this may not seem possible to you right now. You may be thinking that you've tried in the past but still struggled. But remember, listen, it's a progressive process. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen bit by bit. You may have a dip, but you got to keep moving forward. You got to keep moving forward. Listen, if you start living according to biblical principles, Paul reassures the believer that God is going to be with you the whole entire way. Philippians 4:9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Doesn't say He may be with you. It says He shall be with you. God's peace will keep you and be with you the whole entire way. Listen, without removing the old habits in your life, it's just going to be a never-ending struggle against strongholds, against bondage, against sinful desires, and so on and so forth. You cannot remain surrounded by your old lifestyle and not be influenced by it in some way. It's impossible. It's impossible. As tough as it may seem, you will need to make some major changes in your life in order to live out the victory you gain through Christ over your strongholds. Listen, keep this in mind. This is great. It's one we all know, and we probably just kind of, you know, brush through it, but it says so much. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you've trusted in Christ, he's what? A new creature. You aren't your old self anymore. You're new. He says the old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen, on Monday nights, those that have trusted in Christ, I don't sit there and go, hi, I'm Shannon Dan, I'm an alcoholic, because I'm not anymore. I'm a new creature. I'm in Christ. We don't do that. We focus on growing in Christ. Listen, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, your old life is no longer who you are anymore. You are a new creature. You need to put off the old man, renew your thinking through His Word, and start putting on those biblical principles in your life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You again so much for this night.